You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 104, Equifax Breach. This week on the podcast, as of the recording of this episode, which is Friday, September 8th, we discovered that Equifax had a major security breach to the tune of 143 million people. All sorts of personal identification leaks, stuff that you just really don't want to get out there. So we spent the entirety of this episode digging into that story, which is still developing. By the way, we don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, whether or not there will be a class action lawsuit, but we wouldn't be entirely surprised if there was. So stick around for that. That's coming up next on The Impromptu.
So this week, I thought we would totally avoid Apple because next week is going to be a doozy, obviously, with the September 12th event. So awesomely, but also not awesomely, a giant tech story landed today concerning Equifax, one of America's largest credit rating and reporting firms. They announced that there was a data breach affecting 143 million customers. That's effectively a little over half the adult population of the United States.
It's a staggering number, and to me, reeks of security negligence.
Yes.
Do you think there's going to be some kind of class action lawsuit?
I absolutely think there will be.
I mean, it stands to reason that there'd be grounds for that at the very least.
From what we can gather, the breach was the result of a known vulnerability in Apache Struts, which is an Apache library to build Java web applications. It's typically used in a lot of enterprise backend stuff. So like banks and Fortune 500 companies, a lot of them might have legacy platforms that are built on top of Struts. And there have been two major vulnerabilities disclosed in Struts this year. One was just announced last week or early this week. And the other was announced, I think, in February or March. This leak occurred, they say, between mid-May and July. And they found out about it on July 29th and waited until, for those keeping score at home, September 8th.
I was going
to
say,
inform the public.
What were they doing that for that entire period of time?
Well, the CEO was selling a bunch of his shares.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that convenient?
Yes. Selling your shares while they're still high before you announce.
This is just one
giant of the largest data breaches in American history.
Yeah, it's a giant mess up and just a huge PR disaster for them.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It makes them look
terrible. Layering on top of all this bad news, they released a mea culpa where it's like, okay, we screwed up. We'll give you a free year of credit fraud reporting, blah, blah. And then they posted a link where you could go to get your free year of reporting and find out if you're affected by the data breach. Two things wrong with that, as we've discovered. First off, ZDNet tested Equifax's data breach checker, and it turns out that it's completely useless. They entered test as the surname, and they entered 123456 as their social security number. And guess what it did? it successfully validated and informed them that the person may have been impacted. So there you go. Mr. John Test, with his social security number of 123456, was affected by the data breach. Or sorry, may have been. So really, this tool, it tells us nothing. So the only safe thing is to assume that your data has been leaked. It might not have been, but the only safe course of action is to assume that it has and take appropriate action, which we will get to. The second thing, if you sign up for the credit reporting, there's a little thing in the fine print that says you've effectively waived your right to sue them. So
you've got to be joking.
So to find out if you're affected, you have to use a tool and sign up for a service that gives away your right to sue them for mishandling your data. And the tool doesn't even work. So even if it tells you you've been affected, you can't be 100% certain. And if it tells you you haven't, again, same problem. So they have effectively screwed this up in every way it is possible to screw it up. The only way this could be worse is if they were caught actually selling this data to people. So yeah, they are in a lot of hot water. Congress has already called 2 hearings to discuss this matter, which is big. The SEC is probably going to go after their CEO for shorting all of those shares before publicly disclosing the breach. Because if there's one thing that definitely gets punished in America, it's financial crimes. Well, sorry, let me rephrase. Wall Street, they can get away with murder. Some guy tries to screw with Wall Street? Yeah, goodbye. Martin Shkreli, did they get him on massively increasing the price of a drug? No. They got him on securities fraud. So yeah, they'll probably go after him. And there will be a class action lawsuit. But in the meantime, over 100 million people in America have their social security number, their name, their address, their driver's license, and a whole host of other information floating out there in the ether in the hands of who knows who. And that data could be bought, sold, transferred, moved around, copied. So, I mean, this could have repercussions for years because that's all the data you'd need to commit identity theft. Because in America, the social insurance number is practically everything. You use it for almost everything that's important. So what can you do if you're affected by this? First step, you're going to want to sign up for a credit freeze, which means it'll make life more difficult for you. But it also means that if anyone has your information, they won't be able to use it against you. Past that, you can obviously set up fraud detection. Your banks will obviously keep an eye out if you inform them. Like, you can do all of that and be vigilant and just keep an eye out for weird things and let all of your banks and various institutions know. And more importantly, you can join the class action lawsuit that is sure to be enacted against Equifax. So,
and in Canada, do we have Equifax?
We do. So there's the other bad news. Several hundred thousand Canadians may also have been affected. So you or I, our information could be out there too. Because Equifax, they have data about just about everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they are one of 3 big credit unions in North America. So they're not just in the States, they're here too. And so anytime you apply for a loan or get a mortgage or buy a house or get a lease on a car or sign up
it's
for
your
a
life,
phone
basically.
Plan, like
right?
any of these things, that could lead to your data being in the hands of these credit unions. So, I mean, some of this data, it can't be changed. Your social insurance number can't be changed. You can't just get a new one. I mean, you probably could and should be able to, but there isn't currently a mechanism by which you can. So you're stuck with this one number that is the most important number in your life, at least in terms of financial and government matters. And yeah, like if somebody else gets it, you basically have to keep an eye on it forever. So yeah, it's a real mess. And then with the class action, even if it wins, A, the jury or the judge might not award high enough damages. In other words, everybody gets a pittance, depending on how many people sign up to the class action. Like,
I guess I should say, I mean, I want to say I'm surprised by this, but I'm not surprised just because considering the level of security breaches that have happened at major, major companies that should be safeguarding your data over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You would think that Equifax, the size of the company, they would have the resources, the wherewithal, the interest and care to protect data. But time and time again, we keep finding companies, big, so-called reputable companies, making catastrophic mistakes.
Yeah.
And what is it? Because I haven't researched this at all really myself, so I don't really know. Maybe you can speak to this, but, and maybe the story is just, it's still developing, but do we know the details of the to the extent of like what they did to cause the issue? I'm not sure I'm still clear on that.
Well, I mean, the vulnerability in Struts was revealed in like February or March.
So this is what,
March.
A framework or something that's installed on the server?
Yeah, so...
A library of some sort?
Yeah, so it's a server framework that is used to build back-end web applications. So obviously something that Equifax had to store data or manage data or process data was built on top of Struts. And because of the vulnerability, they were able to have a remote code execution that allowed them to basically grab everything. So presumably the application in question handled all of the financial data for customers. Or, well, I use the term customers loosely. Really, it's any individual person that Equifax has data on. It's not necessarily somebody who's signed up for something with them. It's everybody. So, yeah, they had an application, stored a ton of data on it. There was a vulnerability discovered, and they did not patch it in due course. Because the thing with major vulnerabilities like that is the minute it's made public, the clock is ticking. You have to fix it, you have to patch it, or somebody will exploit it.
Right, of course.
So the vulnerability was announced in February or March, and the attack started in mid-May.
It's not like they haven't had any time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
They basically had, like, it sounds like they had a month to patch the vulnerability, and they chose not to for whatever reason.
Hmm.
And they still did not patch it until the end of July when they discovered the breach. And they may yet have not patched it. It's unclear. So, I mean, A, companies need to take this shit seriously. If you are storing critical data, any data, sure, but especially data about people's lives. Like, could you imagine if a hospital played fast and loose with people's data?
Yeah.
Their health records?
Well, exactly.
Like,
I mean, we've had breaches of security in hospitals, but that's usually caused by hackers getting in. I don't know if it was... What was it last year? in the UK?
Yeah.
Or was that earlier this year? I don't remember the time frame.
I think it was late last year.
They were
year.
Holding data for ransom or something.
Yeah.
But the hospital systems were really ancient.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was this year. It was that one virus.
Mm-hmm.
It was like ransomware, and they foolishly clicked on the wrong link or opened the wrong attachment, and bam, all of the computers got locked out and encrypted.
Yeah.
That ravaged the world pretty much. And I think that was around the same time. Like that was in March or so, I think. Don't remember exactly. I think it was called WannaCry.
WannaCry, that's what it was.
Oh, God. That feels like 600 years ago already.
Yeah, time flies.
But so, I mean, you just have to take this stuff seriously. If a major vulnerability gets announced, you only have a short window to fix it before hackers start taking advantage of it.
Yeah, and something that really bothers me is when I hear cases where people, amateur hackers or whatever, actually disclose responsibly, where they find an issue and they actually make the effort to contact the company and say, look, I've identified this issue.
Yeah.
You need to fix this. And they give them multiple chances and do everything possible, try to reach them every avenue, every way they can possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Months go by and they are left with no choice but to go public because the company chose not to respond for whatever reason.
Yeah. And in some cases, it goes even further than that. And they've tried to prosecute or have these people arrested.
Yeah. Like, did you hear the most recent case? I think it was that, what was his name? Michael Hitchens or something like that, who they arrested him or something like that.
Yep.
So, and apparently he made every effort, spent months waiting, tried to contact this company. Anyways, it's a long, complicated story. But I don't like the way that we treat people like, you found a vulnerability, so we're calling the police and we're going to arrest you. Like, you just helped that company discover a flaw so that they have an opportunity to fix it before it blows up in their face.
Yeah, like,
you should be thanking him.
Exactly.
You should be paying him.
Yeah.
As a security, you should hire him as a full-time security person to audit your systems.
I mean, that's the whole stupid thing. Like, these people, they find these things, they could easily just exploit them.
Yeah.
They could just use it to their own benefit, but they don't. Mm-hmm. They choose to tell the company about it.
Yeah.
And that should be rewarded because it's really important to know about these things. Government is just so far behind on this stuff. Like, there should be laws and regulations in place that say, if you do not patch vulnerabilities, you are liable.
Yeah. I agree.
Lose customer data, if you lose vital data like this kind of data, you are especially liable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crimes should be created for these things.
I absolutely agree. I think policy is way behind on this stuff, and I think we need to, as a whole, agree on not just repercussions for stuff like this, but maybe I'll pose this to you because I'm curious what you think about this, but I think it's not unreasonable to create a set of standards and say, let's all agree on a set way of doing things, certain encryption standards,
mm-hmm.
certain means of securing customer data, so that we're all clear that there's a baseline of authentication / encryption that you need to follow. Like, there's no excuse for even, like, a website in 2017 to submit any kind of customer data in the clear. And yet, you know how many times, like, I use 1Password and it warns me when a form I'm filling is not secured. You know how many websites I still come up? Like, it's asking me to put in my mailing address, my username and password on an unencrypted page. Like, that's ludicrous. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
This isn't 1995 where the internet was a wild, wild west and we hadn't thought about encryption. Like, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, luckily there have been pushes and there are standards out there. It's just that they're not widely enforced or agreed upon by everybody.
That's what I'm saying. We need buy-in. We need to come up with this is kind of like the baseline that we need to that we need to do.
Yeah.
And anything less than that is negligence.
I would tend to agree. I think it's just difficult to build consensus sometimes.
Like, I'm not saying enforcing what tool, you need to use this tool, but I'm talking about a generalized concepts in security that we all need to understand and all need to implement in some way.
Yeah,
right.
I
like
agree.
A base level encryption, base level authentication.
I think it's just going to be slow going because governments just don't understand this stuff. They don't have people that know about these things.
Right.
So they're all politicians.
There. So they should be hiring people to think about this stuff because even the government has had its own fair share of issues, right?
Yeah. I mean, even in this province, last year we had a breach in the health authority and data was leaked. Yeah, I mean, even in this province, last year there was a breach and data was leaked, personal data. So
I haven't really followed up or kept up with that story. Have you heard anything? Did that go anywhere?
No, there hasn't been a peep about it since.
Hmm. See, that's one of the things that worries me about issues like this, where they kind of just fall off the media radar and then fade away into obscurity, even though, like, where is the accountability?
Yeah. Well, I think...
To be fair, I don't think this is going to fit. This is too big to fade into obscurity.
Oh, yeah.
This affects many people on a personal level.
This is like, half of America, you can't
Throw
that under the rug. I think, though, with things of this scale, any one person is probably going to be okay. That's kind of the silver lining here. Like, if there are hundreds of millions of people whose data is floating out there, the chance of a criminal or a bad actor singling you specifically out for identity theft or fraud is infinitesimal. Like, it's like being struck by lightning twice, depending on how many people have been affected. Like, if it's a dozen people, you should be worried for sure. If it's 100 million people, I mean, just imagine sifting through a spreadsheet with 100 million rows on it.
Well, you wouldn't be able to open it.
Well, yeah, but
be too big.
How would you pick somebody?
Yeah.
Right?
I get your point.
And...
Well, roll the dice. I mean...
Like, that'd be the only way to do it. Or maybe something specific to what you're trying to do. Or you're going after somebody rich. Because that's usually what people do. They don't go after somebody who has nothing to steal.
But still, I mean, we shouldn't downplay this because it's the principle of it.
No,
and this is
not
very sensitive data.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if there is solace to take in this, it's that the chance that you will be personally set back by this situation is very low.
Yeah.
But obviously, with the way things are going towards big data and so on, I mean, maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, criminal activity, maybe not, but... You work your way up to like corporation or state level, and then it's like, well, we have this giant database of people and we can do things with that, like cross-check with other data that we have and build a model. So like, I don't know, some crazy scenario where Russia gets their hands on it and then they're like, we'll influence this
election
too.
Well, just think about how much... personal information about who we are, what our shopping habits are, stuff that's available on social media online. So I think it's not unreasonable to for someone to try to cross-reference that information and figure out who the hell you are.
Yeah. And
it's
then
probably
sell
not
you
that
things.
Difficult.
Yeah. Google does it all the time.
Right. Remarketing.
Yeah. So
cookies are following you around.
I mean, there's all kinds of ways this could go, but just straight up fraud. Yeah. I mean, it could happen to a few people, but overall, I wouldn't worry a ton about it. I would still be wary and keep an eye out, but Yeah.
And this story is still developing. So, I mean, it's this story has been updated a few times today.
Yeah.
On some websites that have been following it. CNET and Ars Technica and a bunch of other technology-related websites. So this is something we may need to follow up on because it'll be interesting to see whether or not there is a class action lawsuit and what the end result is. So probably more to come on this.
Yeah. And, of course, the outcome of the hearings in Congress where they will drag the leadership of Equifax onto the hill.
I mean, who knows what will happen to the company? I don't know. Can they survive?
Explain yourself.
Will they survive?
Honestly, yeah, probably.
You think they're too big to fail?
Well, I mean, let's not throw that term around, but corporations tend to be fine after things like this, usually because they have politicians in their pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
Companies like this, they just get a slap on the wrist and nothing of consequence ends up happening, really. And if there is a class action, you might get, like, I don't know, $500 million, but split across 140 million people, that's not really a lot of money. And like I said before, even if you get a payout, is that really going to equal potentially being at risk for fraud forever? Not really. So ultimately, yeah, they did a shitty thing and almost none of them are going to get punished for it.
Well, if we just look at how many companies, I mean, even Sony had a credit card issue a couple of years ago. I don't think you remember, but they had a bunch of credit cards that were not properly hashed in their database and all that information got out. And yet we continued to buy stuff from this company. We continue to support them. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, on the one hand, yes, we do have choice. You could stop using your PlayStation, but do you really want to? Is that really much of a choice?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all these companies at some point will probably have some major issue. I think it's how it is dealt with. I'm not excusing the fact that Equifax may not have patched their systems as soon as they found it, because you can't possibly know that a particular library that's installed in some flavor of Linux is going to have vulnerability. What matters, though, is that you have a team of IT people that keep up on this stuff and patch it when there is a fix released for these problems. And all these issues just it's like the snowball effect. The fact that they took this long, they were quiet about it, they knew about the problem, the CEOs cashing out stocks, like this, all of that is just awful. And had they patched this at the beginning, I mean,
it
can you even
have
think of a good reason for them not addressing the issue
in a timely manner? Yeah, I mean, it's a big company. There was probably some bullshit where there was one developer who worked on whatever it was, and maybe they were on vacation or they didn't give a shit, or maybe somebody overruled them and said, it's fine. Like, there's 500 different things that
could be
happened.
Many reasons. We don't know, but anyways. More to come. We'll keep up on this story and see if there's anything else that develops on it for sure.
Yeah.
So, Michael, before as we wrap here, what's I hear September 12th is a special day.
Big day.
And that is coming up on Tuesday, I believe.
Which is when this episode will be out.
So this episode will be, we're recording on Friday and the Apple event will be on this Tuesday. So the following week, you will get some of our coverage, which, you know, I'd like to think, you know, I know there are a lot of Apple-related podcasts that only talk about Apple tech and stuff like that, but I always like to think that we find sort of, I don't know, reading between the lines necessarily, but we always find some insightful thing to sort of uncover that I think some other podcasts don't. So, and we don't go on for 3 hours.
No.
So we encourage you to stick around for our version of our coverage. We won't be first. We don't do it live. We're not the fastest, but it'll be worth it. So stick around for that. You've been listening to the Impromptu One Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always.
If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here, the single best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate today. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And do leave us a review if you have a moment that makes us feel good, as well as helps other people find the podcast. We're also available in Google Play Music, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well if you'd like to stream it there, and wherever else you can find podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, you can email us at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org, and that will go to both myself and Michael.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.